Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Get The Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Chat. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick. And sir, we are gathered here. We are socially distanced here today to talk about Kenny Omega, Impact World Champion. He, of course, won the title to add to his collection. We'll get onto that in a second. At last night's Impact Wrestling Rebellion pay-per-view in a match against Rich Swann, title for title. First of all, before we get into all the fallout from this, your thoughts on the match itself, Michael Sidgwick.
It was the weirdest thing, right? It was the weirdest thing because I firmly expected, right, the match to go a certain way. I thought the build of this was tremendous. I think they made so many inspired choices along the way to promote this match. It's been simmering for ages. They've built it in a trios match. It's Hard to Kill. They did a 42-minute long press conference to build this, in which Kenny Omega just entered this bravura performance as this aloof, totally pretentious, brilliantly so, obviously, he's a tremendous heel. Just a wonderful display of hubris at this press conference where he's talking about his plans for the title and what the title would do to his legacy and how it would just reinforce his godlike status. And then Josh Matthews was overseeing the press conference, and he just gestured towards Josh Matthews and said, "I might even defend the title against you if I see fit." And it's just like hilarious lines. He's talking about the annals of time before Tony Khan had to correct him and say it's actually the annals of time. Tremendous 42-minute press conference, wonderful promo work throughout it. And then they did several angles on Impact Television. It was all promoted so well. I do not like Mauro Ranallo as a commentator, right? I think he's completely descended into parody. He is tasked with immersing people in the action, but is just insistence on wordplay and doing what he perceives to be clever things, right? I think are so detrimental to the job. They're so counterproductive to what he's meant to do. And yet enough people like him, enough people miss him, and enough people equate him with being the voice of combat sports as much as pro wrestling, that his very presence, and he was reined in on the night, you know, I thought he was actually quite good beyond one or two shut up moments. Mm. I thought it was an inspired choice in the absence of a crowd to try and get something over to sort of emulate that big fight atmosphere.
He did feel big time with his voice. Yeah, I thought that.
That's the thing I thought was really clever, particularly since Impact's commentary isn't much worse without Mauro Ranallo, to be fair. If there's going to be bad commentary, the bad commentary must at least feel big time. I thought they made so many inspired decisions along the way. And yet, Wilborn, the key issue with this match going into it, beyond the fact that AEW didn't bother to promote it, which I've got a theory on that, which I'll just tell you very quickly before I go back into my thoughts on the match. Mm-hmm. My theory is that they're working a storyline where on the Impact side of things, AEW appear on programming and just bury it. So it kind of makes sense that they wouldn't do it. My working theory is that Kenny Omega wanted to prove that he could go to a smaller company that's completely bereft of buzz and without the advantage of AEW promoting it. I think he just wanted to walk in somewhere and prove that he could draw. And I think he wants to genuinely do good things to the pro wrestling industry and to elevate it as a whole. He's always been interested in collaboration, but I do think on a personal sort of pride level, I really think he just wanted to have not so much help and think, I just want to go in and pop this goddamn territory. And I'm all about that. I really am. So as I was getting to, the build was great. Getting Ronaldo to commentate on it was a great inspired idea, even if I subjectively do not like his commentary at all. The only issue with the match is everyone knew Rich Swann wasn't going to be AEW champion.
Yes.
It wasn't going to be AEW champion. So I watched this match as a big Kenny Omega fan, as a wrestling content producer, as someone with a vested interest because of how effective the build was. I went into this match firmly expecting, well, there's going to be a lack of drama. A lack of drama here, given the result, isn't really in any doubt whatsoever. But given the two men involved, particularly Omega, I'm expecting this balls to the wall, incredibly worked, amazing main event, just without not that much drama. Mm. Weirdly, the complete opposite happened. There were two glaring botches. Either Rich Swann got gassed or had or was knocked loopy. He took like a real nasty looking landing on the apron. Mm. And two really glaring botches that couldn't have resulted from more convoluted positions of struggle on the top turnbuckle, which made it all the worst. It wasn't like a miscommunication and they just bumped into each other or something. They were agonizing over doing something on the top rope.
Was it like, a good one-winged angel? Did I misread that on the second one?
There were two things, right? The first one was, I don't know, but I think Kenny Omega decided, right, I'm just going to take a back body drop so it looks like something. The second one, I'm convinced, and this is insane, but Kenny Omega would have done it. I think because they were building the one-winged angel as the ultimate death blow, as they have been doing throughout his entire career. And they were going to get over the idea that Rich Swann is putting up a fight, so Kenny Omega's going to have to do a top rope variation just to make sure it actually goes ahead and it happens. And what happened was they botched the top rope poison Rana,
yes,
which he's taken before. He took it at Revolution from Nick and Matt Jackson. Unfortunately, Rick Swann isn't a young buck. He isn't quite on that level. And he seemed to be gasped or loopy or something. So something went badly awry there. And, you know, a botch is something I won't laugh at ever. And it's not something I would mark a match down for if it doesn't matter that much. But they came at key moments in the match and they just took you out of it because of how long they labored to set up the moves that were eventually botched. So it was the worst possible moves to botch. So at various points I was thinking, oh, this isn't that great. I'm getting taken out of this. Those botches are particularly glaring. And yet the last 10 minutes was somehow, given the fact that they hadn't built this momentum where you're completely immersed in it and they couldn't really do anything to establish Rich Swann as an actual credible threat to the AEW title. I just don't think there's a way to do it. Even maybe if you'd appear on AEW Dynamite, but that's, you know, they didn't do it, so it is what it is. And yet the last 10 minutes, I don't know if they indirectly benefited from how knackered Rich Swann appeared to be, but the story was he is getting murdered by V-trigger upon V-trigger upon V-trigger. They had the brilliant idea to position Impact as a place unlike AEW where our DQs and interferences happen all the time. Could we see some kind of screw job, given that's title for title and each side of management, Scott D'Amore and Tony Khan, had vested interest in the match and securing the outcome. They teased that wonderfully. Just to add an extra layer of drama without it informing the finish, just the tease of it was like enough to get you involved in the action. And the last 10 minutes were great. A lot of the work was much better in the last 10 minutes. It was an absolute tour de force performance from Kenny Omega. And given that Rich Swann looked as knackered as he did, it kind of added something, possibly not by design, just to the drama of the finish. He was getting V-triggered in the face over and over again. They looked worse than the barrage that John Moxley got at Winter Is Coming. So I think they they were lucky in terms of one, avoiding serious injury on those head drops, and two, the story of the match could not have better accounted for how knackered Rich Swann was and how much of a level above Kenny Omega was over him as a performer. So yeah, that's a lot. It's a long way of saying, Jesus Christ, it's the opposite of how I expected it to go. And it was still really dramatically effective as a result. But I've seen much better Kenny Omega matches. But man, those last 10 minutes were triumphant considering the dynamic and what had happened in the match previously.
Yeah, there's a fine line you have to walk as a performer like Kenny Omega, I would imagine, in terms of being an absolute house. So like when he got the chair, I was like, you don't need that. You quite clearly are going to win this match through your, you know, skill and talent in the ring. And obviously Aubrey Edwards confiscates and stuff. And the way that got set up with him getting out with a cutter, I think it was Rich went for and hit it on the referee instead.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I said this to you this morning, the V triggers. Could he make him look a little bit more snug? Sweet Jesus, they came through the screen at me. Like you say, a bit like when he fought Moxley and then, yeah, this sort of inevitability once he actually got him up and nailed the One Winged Angel. All I could think was, he's going to be even more unbearable on Dynamite this week. Before we get into like the next steps for him and this title and the Elite, et cetera, et cetera, your thoughts quickly on Kenny Omega, the belt collector, because I thought that visual at the end was just so good, you know, flanked by the Good Brothers, who of course lost their titles, but also with Don Callis there. I love a good belt collector gimmick, I've got to be honest.
Well, it's interesting. You say the word visual there, right? Okay. And that's kind of what it's all about. It's all about the visual. Obviously, one of those titles that he holds has been built as incredibly prestigious. It is the number one title for the number two promotion worldwide. It looks beautiful. They've done an absolutely phenomenal job from day one of building it. So that grounds everything. The idea is that belt, having an association visually with the other belts, really merits this belt collector gimmick. But it's only visual, the Impact title. I mean, it's just drawn a decent goddamn number for a pay-per-view, but Kenny Omega holding it, it's the man makes a title and not the other way around. And I think that's his idea, that he can establish this title. And then years down the line, if AEW potentially has a few stale directions or it needs a shot in the arm, they can always go back to this existing relationship. Now, there's reasons beyond the now, and the belt collector gimmick is a big part of it, to do this kind of thing. It's not just this fascinating cross-promotional warfare. I'm into it. There are various problems that will come with such a gimmick, in that at some point he's going to go to Mexico and lose a title. No one will care, really, watching AEW Dynamite. Losing the Impact World title might dent his aura if they haven't got the story. But the thing about Kenny Omega, famously, is that he thinks in years, and that he does think of the long-term goal. He hasn't just gone to Impact Wrestling, thought, if I draw here, it does really good for my reputation, so let's just win a title and then we'll think about it later. Like, he's got a destination in mind. TNA, Impact Wrestling will have a destination in mind. Basically, he's not going to lose it to anyone at any time because Impact tell him to, or because he thinks he's already done this. Like, there'll be a well-thought-out, meticulous plan. But it's funny when you say visually it's a great thing, because that's essentially all it is. But at the same time, he's so intelligent as a pro wrestler, Kenny Omega, that he can tell stories that builds his aura. The last 10 minutes of that match, and I think the steel chair was meant to just be a nice little political story beat, that Rich Swann in subsequent promos when he's building his next match said, oh, the god of pro wrestling needed a chair to beat me. What do you think you're going to do? Like, that's why they did the chair gimmick. But ultimately, the last 10 minutes of that match and how decisively and how brutally he ended Rich Swann on the night, that's all to get over the idea that Kenny Omega right now is an insurmountable god. That's the word that he and Callis have been using very, very regularly. The idea is he's a god. No one can beat him in a singles match. He's unbeaten in singles competition since either All Out 2019 or Full Gear 2019, depending on how you want to look at things. The finish totally informed this character development and this arc that he's currently on. And the belt collector gimmick, even though those belts are nowhere near on the same level as prestige, the fact that there's enough of them and the fact that he is really working his balls off like he did last night to make one of those belts feel remotely in the orbit of the other is all putting itself over. It's all complementing itself. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of it. Visually, he looks like the most decorated because he is pro wrestler on the planet. This is all unfolding deliberately in parallel with the fact that he's winning all these matches and all these great matches. I'm a big fan of it because ultimately, whoever beats him for all of this is going to be totally and utterly made. If you've beaten this version of Kenny Omega, this god that they refer to him as, then it's going to feel in storylines, and hopefully it'll resonate through the storyline as like a real win and a real cap for whomever does defeat him. But it will feel like a breakthrough career win for whoever ends it.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we get on to fantasy booking, who takes those titles off him, I'd love to know if you think he's going to add any more belts to his collection before they start, like you say, not taking it off them, but slowly stripping away that aura. I mean, I know Hamflet last week, for example, booked a sort of double or nothing match between Kenny Omega and Darby Allin, which I think is fascinating. There's always the links to New Japan. What do you reckon to either of those things?
The New Japan thing feels a little bit elusive and fantasy, unfortunately. And the belt doesn't even look that good anymore. Maybe he doesn't
yes.
win, but you know, he could still carry it. It would still be this incredibly amazing Jesus Christ. Not only have you got literally the old Kenny Omega back, the IWGP champ, but he's the AEW champ, he's the Impact champ, he's the AAA champ. It would just be this incredible development. But I feel like the working relationship between New Japan and All Elite Wrestling is nowhere near established to do such a thing. There are quite obvious practicalities involved as to why such a thing can't happen. I think Tony Khan has been very careful in establishing this New Japan relationship. Sorry to go all boring politics to piss in your chips, but they are important considerations. Like, he doesn't just give the IWGP Championship to anyone. There are traveling concerns. There are practicalities as to why you can't just willy-nilly fly Kenny Omega in and out, particularly since Tokyo's just declared a state of emergency. I think the idea from AEW side was to almost court New Japan into this relationship, to like seduce them into doing more down the line, because it was most of the resistance came from the New Japan side for quite some time. I think the idea was, look, if we promote your match on TNT, that might do stuff for New Japan World, and New Japan like, right, okay, we can form a working relationship on the back of this. Apparently the door is open. When the world returns to normal, we'll see a lot more of it, and I can't wait for that. As long as Tony Khan's booking it, Jesus Christ. But for now, given I don't expect this thing to last. I don't expect Kenny Omega's belt like the gimmick and the success of it to last longer than the whole pandemic. The New Japan thing feels elusive. I apologize to the stands, of which I am one at this time, which leaves the TNT title. I personally wouldn't take it off Darby Allin when he's so successful at it. And because I'm so consistent and unbiased, Wilborn, I pointed out, right, that the big problem with Keith Lee winning the NXT and North American titles last year, it's like, right, okay, well, you want one to remain a concern. You can't retire one of the titles. Whenever you win two belts in the same promotion, one, even if it's already kind of accepted as lesser than, we accept it in that, that's still great kind of way that we do with the TNT title. If Kenny Omega was to win it, he'd have to lose the TNT title before the world title, which wouldn't depict him as any kind of world champion, if that makes sense. Or he could lose the world title and then lose the TNT, but he still doesn't feel like a champion if he's lost the world title and defends the TNT. It's all very mucky in pursuit of said visual, but Kenny Omega's clever. He realizes that he can lose the Impact title at some point in Impact canon, and it won't quite matter as much as it would if it was the TNT title he was losing at the same time as holding. He could abdicate it, like he did, like Keith Lee did, but then what does that say about the title? I don't really want that one that much. It's just, it doesn't really work. So long story short, I can't imagine what titles he's going to go to for next. You have to consider the ramifications of who they're willing to work with, who's willing to work with them. But Kenny Omega's a man of surprises. This is a guy who's shocked the world through the likes of the Good Brothers, through the Winter Is Coming shocking conclusion, through opening the Forbidden Door and allowing Kenta in. This man is shocking the world. Don Callis, I believe, has alluded to the fact that there are probably a few more things to come in that regard. Who knows? They might lean on that NWA relationship. It's a pretty one to hold. And the relationship still exists under Rose that is still working AEW as well. And NWA really hasn't... They used to be like a big part of the discourse and they had a nice little respectable audience getting developed for Power. Raves they were getting among certain wrestling fans. It was never for me. Murray loved it. I didn't really like it that much, bar the odd performer, and those performers are in AEW now. So why, you know, NWA basically is struggling for relevance, and maybe something like this could help. But politically, that's the only one I can see that makes sense at this moment in time is the NWA. Worlds. Love that. The Worlds. It's this, the apostrophe and the S adds so much.
I alluded to the inevitable showboating, let's say, on Dynamite coming this week from Kenny Omega, from the Elite, and most importantly from Don Callis, who you will not be able to shut up, I sense, whether it be in promos or on commentary this week. But yeah, what's next for Omega, for the Elite, and you know, who do you see taking these titles? You don't have to book all of them if you don't want to, but who do you see taking these titles off him, and possibly even in what order?
I don't have the greatest in-depth knowledge of Triple R. I just don't. So it's going to be harder for me to answer that question. The easy thing for me to say would be either Phoenix or Laredo Kid.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Which is the two that I'm most familiar with. And beyond that, I do make time to watch... it's either Vikingo or Vikingo, but this guy, El Hijo del Vikingo, is absolutely unbelievable. And given my absolutely botched pronunciation of the man's name, a lot of it's through MP4 and GIFs from In The Know Lucha accounts. I simply don't have time to watch Triple A as much as I would like to, because every time they do a Fantastic Mania show, it's an absolute hoot for all of the right and for all of the wrong reasons. It almost intersects every single one of my values as a pro wrestling fan. It's so entertainingly awful or just outright blow away awesome. So if he defends it there, I'll definitely be interested. But I really don't know is my honest answer to that. And I don't know. A lot of Western fans are more likely to gravitate towards Japanese wrestling than Lucha in my experience. All of which is to state that if he quietly loses that one, that he doesn't even appear on telly with when he's not taunting Penta or Phoenix with it. that one won't matter quite as much optics-wise.
Yeah.
Impact will, because Impact has got this rep, which Kenny Omega is trying to help rehabilitate as this zombified league that somehow contrives to still exist. How does it conspire to not be dead? They've even named a pay-per-view after this phenomenon called Hard to Kill. Optics-wise, it doesn't matter when and to whom he loses that AAA title. It just doesn't. Phoenix, just because it means you'll get another Kenny Omega versus Phoenix match, and they're always absolutely tits. So that's my answer to that. With Impact, they have to be really a lot more careful, because its name, as yet, is... it's a lot of people were high on Impact Rebellion as a show. A lot of people were high on this match, and I think a lot of the people who didn't think that it was executed to the level you might expect from a big league Kenny Omega main event was still like really in admiration of how much buzz it got, how much it was trending, how many tweets people saw about it, how many tweets people tweeted about it, the apparent buy rate that's done really good numbers by their standards per Brian Alvarez. Like, it feels like a company that is capable of generating buzz, but whether it can generate sustained buzz is another matter. As yet, despite a really well-received Impact Rebellion, despite the fact that in terms of its personnel, how long they're keeping guys around for, the consistent storytelling, TNA burned too many fingers so that people aren't going to pay any attention to it, because they just, it's been stigmatized as this inexplicably bad thing. Even though it's not to my tastes, and a lot of the bad things that happen on there are still kind of prevalent in terms of the Undead Realm or whatever the hell it's called, and Tommy Dreamer working matches, Jesus Christ. It's not like the awful, piss people off kind of bad, if that makes any sense. It's just bad taste bad. There's a difference between putting stars in awful counterproductive storylines and burying them and being totally incompetent. That's one thing. Actually embracing like bad wrestling and bad comedy and like arm drama and sports entertainment, but doing it with sort of a relish and a wink and a nod. That's how I would describe much of the Impact that I see now. But to this day, it remains the company that is stupid. That's that stupid company, isn't it? That stupid company that used to have loads of stars and then pissed them all away because Vince Russo booked it. That is what people think of Impact. All that being said, I think it's almost imperative that Kenny Omega not lose that Impact title before the AEW title. And I'm fairly convinced, against your WWE head, is all wrestling stupid? No, I've seen enough great wrestling that's really intelligent. But because of WWE's goddamn monopoly over 20 years, you still ask yourself these questions. Are they stupid enough to have him lose that title for the AEW? Because that would be really bad. Even if it's not in AEW canon, every wrestling fan who watches AEW, or like 95% of them, will know what Impact is and will know that Kenny Omega is now the champion of it. It would look bad optics-wise for him to lose that. As to who, a lot of people in my mentions have asked me today, so I'll field this question here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said, oh, what about Samoa Joe? I quite like that for one reason. It's not going to happen, which I'll tell you for a very good reason in a minute. But I quite like that for one reason. Even though I don't want to see Samoa Joe in AEW, because it's just too many people who need to get on telly more than they are, than a thrashed Joe, who I loved, but I feel like there's a lot of sentiment being directed towards Joe more than an honest appraisal of what he can do. I would take the Joe storyline in Impact, because the big thread of Kenny Omega going there, and he was wonderful on the go-home show of Impact, because he just said, oh, wish I could be there in person to build the match, but oh, God, I can't, unfortunately. Like a disingenuous prick who just pisses all over the fact that Impact Wrestling is anything without him being so magnanimous to elevate it as its champion. It's a great thread. So there's a nice, strong idea in someone who is Impact Wrestling through and through to stand up for the company, to eventually, after winning however many matches and mounting a serious, credible challenge and a threat, to dethrone Kenny Omega after he loses the AEW one as like a representative of Impact Wrestling. So they can tell a happy ending for people who like Impact, because they've got a diehard base, clearly. Like, there's people who stuck with it through just generations of disaster. I would describe the plague that has swept through that cursed company. There are people who still love it. There are people who still adore it, like mega dedicated fans. And I think they will get a happy ending through the surrogate TNA Impact loyalist figure. That could be Eddie Edwards. That could be someone who at this point has been there for 2 years. That's what qualifies one these days. Samoa Joe's a good idea for that exact person. I loved his work in ROH more than I ever did in TNA, even though his best matches in TNA were great. But I always consider him more of an ROH guy. I think it's more an honour to his legacy. But regardless, he is still kind of synonymous with TNA. Be a great idea to keep that thread going of Kenny Omega being like aloof and superior to Impact, and one of Impact's own lads like just killing him for that title and sending him scurrying back to AEW. The problem is that Samoa Joe became available long after Kenny Omega had this idea and firmed it up and realized exactly who he's going to drop it to. That could change if there's a better story, but I don't know. Eddie Edwards is a guy who's, I feel like they're going with this direction next, but he would be a good guy to dethrone him ultimately, because Eddie Edwards is a guy, right, who had a legendary run with the American Wolves. Really great run in ROH. TNA has his reputation. I'm calling it TNA, it's Impact Wrestling, but it kind of just, it invites the word TNA to come out of your mouth because of the stigma. TNA has this reputation, and it kind of got reinforced at the worst moments of Rebellion last night, as this place where disillusioned, or I don't want to say lazy, but like just wrestlers who weren't as good as they were in WWE go to Impact Wrestling to get a payday and do a run. I'm not going to name names, it's cruel. But there were certain wrestlers where I thought, yeah, you're not hitting the beats that you did when you were like really on the cusp of making it. You're kind of happy to get a payday there. Eddie Edwards isn't that, and he's proud to represent Impact. He's been saying this quite a lot throughout this build, with one eye on him being an Omega opponent. He's like the wrestler who happens to work for Impact because he likes it, and yet I think could still do something for a proper major promotion. Mm. He hasn't just been stigmatized as this wrestler who's good for Impact, but, you know, they missed their opportunity to work elsewhere. Eddie Edwards could be the one. He intersects that Impact loyalist, actually still good wrestler with a decent enough currency in certain circles that would be okay optics-wise to lose to Omega. So for me, Eddie Edwards is the one. Phoenix is the one because I want to see the match. And as for AEW, go back and listen to our other Kenny Omega theme podcast, the title of which escapes me right now, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from, because Hangman Page has to win it, and he has to win it at All Out.
Yeah.
100%. Because All Out is the venue of his failures. His failure against Chris Jericho, his failure to keep the AEW World Tag Team titles, and his friendship with Omega and his support network and the Elite intact. The Elite have now become complete arseholes. Hangman Page was right all along to feel like they were patronizing him to keep themselves on top, and All Out is the venue of his redemption. So Phoenix, Eddie Edwards / Hangman Page.
Love that. Couple of final questions here. Have your fun with how you think it's going to be introduced on Wednesday. What do you think is going to be going down now, especially now their personalized trailer has been wrecked by Moxley and Kingston? Never mind all that. How are they going to react to this new belt being added to the collection? And you mentioned the lack of Impact stars appearing on AEW in the build to this. Do you see any changing that in that perhaps?
Really, no. I think if they were going to do something about putting over the fact that he's Impact AEW champion, Impact world champion, I think they would have promoted the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
If they had a real vested interest in making you want to watch Impact Wrestling with the idea that the stars of Impact Wrestling or the wrestlers of Impact Wrestling were going to then appear on AEW going forward as part of this cross-promotional exercise, then I genuinely think they would have sold this match on TNT, and they didn't, which leads me to believe that they will probably show you a backstage promo of him with the Impact title. You might even see him wearing it for, as you point out, just the pure visual of all these belts and how good he must be. I don't think it's going to drive any storylines, and I don't really think you're going to see much of an impact, an influx of Impact guys on AEW Dynamite. Shows are stacked enough, and I think it's quite apparent at this point. It was December all this started. It's April now. He's won their title. It wasn't promoted. I think the idea is Kenny Omega wants to be a two-promotion guy more than AEW wants to do any kind of cross-promotional warfare or feud with Impact Wrestling. I think he wants to be a two-territory guy with the idea of elevating it because of a genuine love for the business, a genuine love of the idea of collaboration stemming from his, you know, adolescence watching the Monday Night Wars and how great it was to watch these. And he wants this generation of fans to experience that same thing. But at the same time, I think he wants to have in his legacy, he's a big legacy guy. He wants to be remembered as a great, he wants to be remembered as the greatest all-rounder. I think this is legitimately also, I think it's too selfish, but I think this is selfish enough or driven enough or likes the idea of popping a territory that could not be popped until Kenny Omega walked through that door. And I admire that in him. I really do.
And without treading on our toes ahead of the AEW Dynamite preview later on this week, finally, yeah, what do you see them doing this week to celebrate their leader's latest conquest?
A throwaway line. I genuinely just see a throwaway line. They would have built this if they were really, truly bothered about making it feel like a big deal. I think we'll get... It was taped, or they can easily have taped something after Rebellion with everyone there and just stick up an AEW backdrop and then insert that into the edited Dynamite broadcast, because that's in the can as far as I'm aware. But there's not going to be any big in-ring celebration. Look at this god. I don't know if they've had the belts by then. They could have borrowed them all. I don't know the ramifications of all of the practicalities of all the logistics. But I just think we're going to get a throwaway line and a nice little visual, and that'll be that. And then there'll be a two-territory guy, and the two are barely going to interact with the other. I just feel like that's the way it's going to be. I think that they're trying to go back to the idea of the traveling champion, not the cross-promotion, like the traveling champion who can go anywhere and win anything.
He's not a draw, though, is he?
No. I mean, he only got... If you look at all... By all accounts, I think the Hart to Kill got the second best TNA buy ever. If you look at, like, all the WWE ex-stars who have headlined TNA pay-per-views and didn't get that number, I mean, it's ridiculous, the idea that Kenny Omega isn't a draw. He's either going to get the number two or number three pay-per-view all-time buy rate with this main event. Ah, he's not a draw, though. He's not a draw.
Right, let us know your thoughts on the future of, well, Impact Wrestling and Kenny Omega, I suppose, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.